Is it possible to create the perfect Facebook ad? One that increases brand awareness, drives engagement, and leads to sales all in one go? We'd like to think so, but we needed a true expert on Facebook advertising to find out. One that really knows their stuff.
I went through some awesome courses and I was able to talk to a lot of really smart people, but most of what I've learned is just from doing. Consume as much information on this stuff as you can, but definitely do it.
That's Molly Pittman. Molly is the VP of Marketing at Digital Marketer, and she's been exploring, iterating, and improving on Facebook ads for businesses for more than 5 years. I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, the show where we experiment, share stories, and explore the wonderful world of social media. Let's kick things off with episode number 42 of our journey. Thanks for being with us today. This is Molly Pittman. She's the Vice President of Marketing at Digital Marketer. Appreciate you being with us, Molly.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Happy to be here. Love Buffer and everything you guys do. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, the feeling's mutual. So thanks again. we're going to share a lot of great content today, but just a quick plug for your podcast, Molly. If you want to totally binge listen to a great podcast all about paid advertising and acquisition, you have to check out Perpetual Traffic. Honestly, I'm a huge fan. So thank you for putting out a great show.
Yeah, thanks. It's probably my favorite activity every week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Facebook ads and different paid acquisition methods online. So definitely check us out. It's digitalmarketer.com/podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, highly recommended. Cool. So kicking off today's episode all about the five key elements of a perfect Facebook ad. Funny story, we're actually starting to experiment a little bit with Facebook ads here at Buffer. And I got to say, our first week, and I'm starting to realize how hard they actually are. It's pretty crazy how hard Facebook advertising is. It's not like you just go in and create an ad and convert customers, right? I mean, I feel like that's sort of the mindset a lot of people have going in.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, in terms of an ad platform, in my opinion, Facebook's easy from a UI standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. So they make it pretty easy to tell them, you know, exactly what you want from the campaign. You kind of know which buttons to click. It's not rocket science, but it is hard, you know, if you don't have the right expectations aligned with your ads, right?
Right.
So we teach like a three-part traffic system here at Digital Marketer and on the Perpetual Traffic podcast. And basically, we explain that running paid advertising is very much like dating. And a lot of people will launch a Facebook campaign and they'll come back and they'll say, Molly, this didn't work. And I'll ask, okay, great. What was the goal of the campaign? What was the goal of this ad? And they'll tell me that the goal was, you know, to reach a new audience, to generate leads, and to generate sales.
Right. Classic. We all want that.
Right. Exactly. But that's really just not feasible unless you just have some super viral, you know, new product that takes pictures of your dogs while you're, you know, at work. But honestly, I think a lot of it comes down to expectations and just a lot of trial and error. That's how I've learned most about Facebook ads is just doing it. So a little long-winded, but that's my soapbox.
No, I love it. And I love the comparison to dating too. Yeah, you have to go out to multiple dinners and even go to the theme park and do a lot of different things to kind of nurture the relationship.
You have to invest. And yeah, Especially with the way consumer behavior is online now, you know, people back in the day, 10 years ago, would see a banner ad on a website for a cool product and think, oh, I can buy things online. This is amazing. I'm going to buy. That's not how this works anymore. Online consumer behavior is very similar to in-person consumer behavior. So really understanding that it is about the relationship.
Could you kick us off with the number one thing overall, I guess the number one key element in a perfect Facebook ad?
Yeah, the first one is your offer. And an offer does not mean your product. So at Buffer, your product is a really cool piece of software, but an offer that you could make to get people, you know, to buy that product is a 14-day trial, right? Mm-hmm. Or you get a month free if you buy annual. So a lot of times people run ads that declare that this product exists, right? And that people should buy, but they're not giving people a reason to click. So your offer is really whatever you are running traffic to, whatever the destination is of this ad, and the reason why people should take action. And that's the single biggest mistake that I see people make when running Facebook ads. Just because people see your ad doesn't mean they're going to take action on it, right? Mm-hmm. So are you running traffic to something that people really want? And that could be anything from a really compelling blog post to, you know, a video training series or some special discount for your product or service. But the number one thing, and it's as simple as it sounds, is to make sure that you're actually buying traffic to something that people want. You would be surprised at how many people make the mistake here on this first step.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because internally you're like, oh, people are definitely going to want my product. And of course, it's probably a great product or service or software, but people that don't know your brand don't know that yet. So you got to kind of ease them into the relationship, if you will. So I'm actually curious if, and I know this kind of is situation particular, but when someone comes to you and says, what offer should I be creating? Like, is there something that works more often than others, or is it kind of business specific?
I mean, it's definitely going to be business specific. We can include a link below in the show notes. We have a whole episode on how to craft the perfect offer from our CEO, Ryan Dice.
Awesome.
A lot of it is psychological. So what about your product or service or your blog post, whatever you're offering, provides a transformation for the end user, right? Mm-hmm. So how are you taking them from a before state of being unhappy or frustrated or overweight to an after state of, you know, happiness and health, or, you know, whatever your product or service does for this person, it should be the vehicle that takes them from that before to that after state. Mm-hmm. So crafting your offer and the why around why someone should click, it takes a lot of psychology and a lot of thinking. That's probably what we put the most time into. You know, how is my product or service, how is my offer a vehicle to transform someone? So number two is your copy. So the writing that you're doing, right? Or whatever you're saying in your video ad, if you're running a video ad. And really, the copy is the articulation of the offer.
Yes.
So they go hand in hand. So once you know what you're selling or what you're offering and really what the hook is, how you are transforming that end user, the copy kind of writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
And with Facebook ads, I really recommend making the copy as personable, yet actionable as possible. So if think about what Facebook is, it's a social platform, and people are used to scrolling through their news feeds because they want to see pictures and status updates from their family, their friends, their coworkers. They're not necessarily there to look at ads from brands unless you're me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can really meet them where they are in terms of your ad and your copy, this will go a long way. So making your copy very personable, almost like if you were talking to a friend, works really well for most businesses. But you obviously want to really touch on the pain point that your product or service solves and also offer a solution, which should be to click and, you know, do whatever you want them to do. So making it personable, really hitting on a pain point. So, you know, are you frustrated with the amount of time it takes to execute social media in your business? Are you looking for the results without all of the work, right?
Right.
Are you just too busy to do this stuff? Well, here at Buffer, you know, we're here to solve that problem. And lucky for you, we happen to have a 14-day free trial or whatever you guys are offering. So really hitting that pain point in the beginning and then the solution being whatever you're offering, that usually works really, really well because it's, again, an articulation of the hook and the offer that we talked about in step one.
Love it. And we'd love to have you come create some Buffer ads, by the way. Those all sound like great. I'm writing as you speak.
I'll be there tomorrow.
So one thing I'm wondering about too, because I was sitting down to try to write some copy the other day thinking about my experience with this. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what about length? Should it be as descriptive as possible? Or do you have any quick tricks for, like, I don't know, or have you seen anything with length and style? And I don't know.
It's really something you have to test. I've seen short, one sentence, super witty ads. And then I've seen, you know, 10 paragraphs work, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it really depends on where you are in that customer journey. But I honestly always tell people, how long does it take for you to get your point across, right? but make sure your call to action isn't buried at the bottom of 7 paragraphs if you do have a really strong call to action you're looking for, because most people won't make it that far.
Absolutely. That's such a great point too. Yeah. Cause I've seen, just like you said, ads that are a paragraph long that work. And also the quick and short ads also work. Kind of depends on what the offer is. And I'm also hearing a little theme here. And that's, I've heard you mention like free offers or free trials a lot too. Is that kind of a theme?
Oh, totally. So we call them lead magnets at Digital Marketer. But basically giving something in exchange for the permission to follow up. So maybe it's a template or a checklist. A lot of people use white papers or ebooks, which ebooks are tough to use. It's like, hey, you want to read 300 pages, right?
Yeah.
You want this thing to be easily consumable. So we'll also use ungated content like blog posts just because we want to pixel that person. We want to be able to follow up with them. So yes, that should absolutely be the first step of your customer journey when you're targeting cold traffic, because you want to be able to build authority with that person. You want them to be able to trust you. If we spend 60% of our media budget every month just on traffic to free stuff, 60%, because we know that if that's this person's first interaction with Digital Marketer, we're eventually going to get them to buy, whether it's through retargeting ads, email follow-up, you know, messenger follow-up, whatever it is. If we give them a good experience right off the bat, we're good to go. So I spend, like I said, 60% of my budget on traffic to things like blog posts and lead magnets, just so we can make that first impression. So someone can read the blog post and say, oh, wow, these people at Digital Marketer are really smart. You know, yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
This was an ad and all they did was give me something for free. Cool. What else do they have to offer? Number three is all about your creative. So your creative is your ad copy, your video, whatever visual elements you're using for your ads. So we have, you know, images now, GIFs, you can do a video, you can do a carousel ad. There are lots of different options. And this is where a lot of people get lazy. Well, this and the next step. So people will create these really badass campaigns and then they'll just slap like a stock photo on there or like a picture of a cat. And it makes me so angry because this is the element of the ad that's going to catch most people's attention, right? And you don't just want to catch people's attention so that they stop. You want to catch people's attention if this offer relates to them. So using things like girls on the beach or cats, it might get people to stop, but that's not going to be a qualified click.
Right.
So I highly, highly recommend people doing research and putting a lot of thought into their creatives before they launch their campaign. And we do have another episode on this, but and you know, a quick summary is to figure out, what is my offer? What is my hook? So, you know, what was the marketing message behind this entire campaign? Okay, now how can I convey that in an image?
Hey everyone, Brian here. Quick side note, I actually asked Molly about this technique after the show, and it's really awesome. What she does is take particular keywords from their ad copy, type them into Google, and then filter by images at the top. That way, she knows exactly what images are being clicked on most in relation to that specific keyword or phrase. Then, Molly screenshots a few of the most popular images, creates a design that's similar to those, and ends up with a perfectly tailored image for her specific ad. Genius. All right, now back to the interview.
So it's really important to make sure your creative, of course, catches their attention by using contrasting colors, or maybe you're using a cartoon look, but you really aren't just looking for a clickbait creative. You want something that absolutely conveys your marketing message, or you're going to get a bunch of unqualified clicks.
Actually, I wanted to ask you too. Obviously, one of the hottest topics in marketing right now is video, and especially video ads. Have you seen any like dramatic increases from video ads, or is it more like just about the creative and whether a video or a graphic or whatever serves that? That's okay.
Yeah.
But it's
whatever serves you best. The best part about video ads is that people who watch your video, you can then retarget them. So
right.
I love video ad, but don't create a video ad just to create a video ad. If you're really good on camera, or for some reason your product or service is best demonstrated on camera, or you have a good videographer, if that's a strong suit in your business, do it. If not, stick with good old images.
Cool. So what do you got for number four?
Yeah. So number four is probably my favorite. Number four is all about targeting.
Ooh.
So this is definitely my favorite. It's interesting because, just like I said in the last step, people will have this awesome campaign created and then they slap on, you know, a stock photo. People will create this awesome campaign and then they will get to the targeting section of Facebook Ads Manager and say they're selling fishing equipment. They'll type in fishing as an interest, click the first thing that pops up, and then go on to the next step. And it's sad because they've created this awesome campaign, but they've put it in front of the wrong audience and it will fail, right? And it has nothing to do with the campaign in terms of the way it looks and feels. It's just that it's not being shown to the right people. So especially when you're starting, it's really, really, really important to do a ton of research on the avatar in which you are wanting to reach. And so what we'll do is we'll go through a series of questions that we ask ourselves, and we start doing research inside of Google. So we'll answer questions like, you know, what brands or authority figures does this market look up to, right? Where do they get their information? So social media managers are probably looking at, you know, people like Social Media Examiner and Mari Smith and Michael Stelzner and maybe Digital Marketer and definitely Buffer. So those are the types of people that social media managers are getting their information from. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. It's very important to target more so based off of those types of interests than the obvious things that people would think. It's just too broad. So you want to get very specific and do a lot of research around your targeting. We recommend about 500,000 to 2.5 million audience size inside of each of your ad sets.
Cool.
It's big
That's
enough
good
to
enough.
Where, yeah, it's big enough to where Facebook can optimize and have enough people to show the ad to. But it's not too big to where they're like, I don't know what to do. There's too many people for us to target. So that's a good guideline to go off of, unless you're a local business, obviously, and then you have to play with whatever your, you know, market size is.
I'm curious though. So How does, say, targeting based off of interest compare to maybe an email list or website traffic? Have you noticed any difference there or any effectiveness in the three audiences?
Yeah, very good question. So the three-step traffic system I was talking about, the first step is cold traffic. So people that don't know you exist. So that's where you would use the certain type of research that I just talked about. The second is warm. So that's going to be cold, or that's going to be your website custom audiences, uploading your email list. Now, that's always going to work the best, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because those people have had touch points with your brand, but you're also swimming in a smaller pond. So those are highly effective. It's just, you have to run the cold ads to build, you know, the warm audience, and then your hot audience are going to be buyer lists, which are the best. But again, one grows the other.
That's really cool. And then would you say that once you, so let's say you do have a small pool, like a small email list or a small audience size on your blog or your website, what do you think about creating lookalike audiences and how effective are those in Facebook ads, and do they actually work?
Yeah, I love lookalike audiences, especially to cold traffic. So say you're running ads to a particular blog post, creating a website custom audience of people who have already read that blog post, and then a lookalike audience of those people is a great way to scale your traffic, right? Creating lookalike audiences of your email list. It works very well, but again, it's kind of limited to what you've done with your warm audience.
Right, right. So like we talked about, you have to do everything in the first four steps in order to make those lookalike audiences really effective and work and grow.
Absolutely.
Cool. Love it. Molly, what do you got for number five?
Yeah, so number five is pretty simple, but it's a concept that we call ad send. And the idea is that you want to make sure that wherever you're sending traffic, that the landing page is congruent with the ad. It's a big mistake that I see people make. You want to make sure that it's congruent in terms of the offer. You want to make sure that it's congruent in terms of the design elements too. But you'll see a lot. The reason people clicked is the why, is the number one. And if you don't continue that message to the next page, you're going to lose your people. So making sure that the copy is really similar. A lot of the copy in my ads is actually just coming from the landing page where we're sending traffic to. So you just want to make sure that when someone clicks on your ad and then goes to your landing page, they don't feel like they went to another planet. Even the design elements, if you can maintain a similar color scheme. So just think about how your ad and your landing page work together from a stranger's perspective, and make sure it's a seamless process for prospects, and you will be fine on the AdSense front.
AdSense, I love it. Excellent perspective and a great way of thinking about it. Now, how about on the landing page side of things? How important are landing pages, and what should marketers be looking out for when it comes to those?
You know, it's funny. People don't take into consideration how much your landing page affects the success of your traffic campaigns. So for example, say you're running ads to a page that asks for someone's email address. So you're generating leads. And, you know, if the conversion rate on that page, once they click, is 20%, let's say, and say you're getting leads for a dollar, which is insanely low, but let's keep math easy. Say you change nothing on your traffic campaign, but you do some optimization on your landing page, and you're able to increase that conversion rate to 40%. You're able to double it. Well, without touching anything inside of Facebook, your lead cost just went down to 50 cents. So your landing page has just as much of an effect on your traffic campaign as vice versa. So make sure that you're doing optimization there, and that you're paying attention to the congruency between the two.
So I'm actually really interested now, because one of the biggest things that we're struggling with at Buffer with our Facebook ads is like creating a landing page. But just to be clear and kind of like piggybacking off what you're saying, does it have to be a landing page in the traditional sense, or could it be things like blog posts or, you know, something fun that you might offer? Because I think when people hear, oh, I have to create a landing page, they automatically assume like a place where you get email addresses or that sort of thing, but they might not have the resources to create one, or you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be a traditional landing page. For example, if you're running traffic to a blog post, you want to make sure that the headline and the message that you're really promoting in that blog post or in that ad is present on the blog post. So just making sure there's congruency between the two.
For sure. Well, that's inspiration to kind of continue to iterate, because we have one landing page right now that doesn't convert very well. So we're looking at new ways to send traffic to the Buffer assets.
Totally. Yeah. We have a tool called True Conversion. It's similar to Hotjar, but with a few extra features. So if you're ever curious, check that out, and it will show you recordings and basically why your landing page isn't converting.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do. And I'll link to all the episodes of Perpetual Traffic that you mentioned. I'll definitely link to that tool in the show notes. So thanks for sharing that. Well, Molly, thank you so much for all of the five key elements today in a perfect Facebook ad. And we usually like to end the show with three key takeaways from our guests. Today, I'd love to ask you, what are your three key takeaways for marketers just getting started with Facebook ads?
Totally. Number one, really think about this as a system. Like we talked about in the beginning, don't expect to set up what I call one-hit wonder campaigns that are going to raise awareness, leads, sales, and make you $1 million overnight. Really think about the sequencing and what's the first ad that I'm going to show someone? What's the second ad that I'm going to show someone? And really equate it to building a relationship in person. I think that's very, very important. And the second is to set expectations based off of that sequence. So if the goal of your first ad is just to drive traffic to a blog post, maybe your success metric there is just cost per click. It has nothing to do with leads. It has nothing to do with sales. So make sure that you're creating a system, but that you're also setting appropriate goals and expectations based off of what you've outlined. What does good mean for your business is going to vary from business to business. So really pay close attention to that. And number three is just to do this stuff. I've been doing this like 5 years now, and everyone asks how I got to where I am. And I went through some awesome courses and I was able to talk to a lot of really smart people, but most of what I've learned is just from doing. So, consume as much information on this stuff as you can, but definitely do it. Because until you actually do it and test and reiterate, you won't know how this really specifically works for your own business.
That's great advice. I love it. Yeah. Everybody listening to the show right now, get out there and try a couple Facebook ads a day, and you'll see you'll get better just by today. So Molly, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. It was a pleasure having you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brian. And thanks for everyone who's listening.
A huge thank you to Molly for sharing all of these awesome and actionable social media insights on Facebook advertising. You can check out more of Molly's work in our show notes or at digitalmarketer.com. And don't forget to relive all of the fun quotes and moments from this show at buffer.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us for another great interview. Please stop by on social media and let us know what you think using the hashtag BufferPodcast. We're Buffer pretty much everywhere on social media. Or you can reach out to me, Brian Peters, at Brian_G_Peters on Twitter. I'd love to continue the conversation there. And until next week, here's to just doing it.